The way Ronald Reagan framed issues and explained events influenced the way Americans understood much of the 1980s.
What I'm describing now is a plan and a hope for the long term.
My name is Anna Abadoff-Flaster. I was born in Cuba.
The march of freedom and democracy, which will leave Marxism-Leninism on the ash heap of history.
My parents left Cuba in 1967 when I was just about 5 years old. No, actually almost six. His manner of describing what I knew had traumatized my family, he got it. He got the whole notion of what communism meant and the true evil, which he used. He used that word. He understood what it meant to come from a place that had those ideals. And I think my parents always felt that, Carter was a wonderful guy, but someone the communists would just walk right over. He was the embodiment of what I guess I had hoped for in terms of a leader, of an American leader.
As you know, the current collection of programs designed to assist the needy spends nearly $120 billion a year. But you also know how uncoordinated it's all become, with many who are not poor receiving benefits intended for the poor. We're going to look at the entire process in an effort to bolster the family by putting it at the center where it belongs.
My name is Maureen Taylor. I am the state chairperson of the Michigan Welfare Rights Organization, and I am a board member of the National Welfare Rights Union. When I heard Ronald Reagan talking about welfare and welfare policies, I was energized by his lack of sensitivity. It made me become more committed to looking at these class issues and to make certain that I would garner my steps, order my steps, concern myself with the business of trying to equal the playing field between a spokesperson like this particular president and the millions of poor and low-income Americans. There was much organizing and tremendous anger because of his attacks on low-income women and children. Just unmanly, un-American to do this kind of thing. And he epitomized that during the whole time that he was a president.
I'd planned to speak to you tonight to report on the State of the Union.
My name is Dina Bass, and I am a congressional staffer on Capitol Hill.
Today is a day for mourning and remembering.
I can remember being in seventh grade and having him come and address the nation after the Challenger exploded.
We know we share this pain with all of the people of our country. This is truly a national loss.
We knew that everything was going to be okay because he said it was going to be okay. It was this man who just seemed strong and self-assured and confident. Everything about his presence gave us peace. I remember watching the inauguration of the first President Bush, and I was very excited, and most of my friends were excited that he had been elected. But there was also something extremely sad about this day, because most of my life had been under the helm of President Reagan, and he seemed so majestic and regal, and I can remember seeing him sitting in the audience, and he had this white scarf on, and it was just kind of blowing in the wind, and he just seemed so elegant, and I just wanted to burst into tears. There was something almost frightening about not having President Reagan at the helm.
That was Dina Bass in Washington, D.C. We also heard Maureen Taylor from Detroit and Anna Abadoff-Flaster from Lexington, Massachusetts.